Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a bi-weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polinencia, and we are glad you're here. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
It starts with the assimilator loving, truly, truly loving their church. If you walk into your church on Sunday, I've said this to a couple of associate pastors, maybe around the country, and you don't walk in and think this is one of the greatest churches in America, why are you there?
Yeah.
That's in all honesty, if you don't love your pastor, if you don't love the worship that's going on in your church, if you don't love the things that are going on in your church, you're doing one or two things. You're working to fix it under your pastor, or maybe as the lead pastor, or number two, you're being a detriment to it. Mm. And you gotta love where you're at, because believing people bring people.
Today's big idea is all about assimilation. We're talking about taking a first-time guest and turning them into a fully engaged member.
Idea Network Mentoring is officially live. We have already had an incredible response from the community and are looking forward to how God will continue to bless this amazing resource. Schedule your mentoring session today by going to ideanetwork.church/mentoring.
Hey, welcome to this episode on assimilation. I am so glad we're finally doing an episode. I can't believe that we're 56 episodes in talking about assimilation.
Yep.
Because this is one of the core foundational things that we began the Idea Day with.
Right. Yeah. There's really a belief that we have to make sure that the back door of the churches are not wide open.
Yeah.
And we're making sure that people that are coming to our church are getting assimilated into the right places so they get attached to ministry and hopefully become long-term members of our church.
The very first Idea Day that Josh Ermler and I put together, I can remember this was one of the first five topics. And the premise was this: we, as the type of churches we are, we as Baptist Church, we don't have a bad time getting people to the church. We have a bad time keeping people in the church. Okay, so I just had this conversation with a friend of mine who is a pastor's kid, a wonderful person, loves God. And this person told me about their church. They love the church. They go to the church. They have invited, over the last 4 to 5 years, they've invited over 40 first-time guests to the church who came. Not one has ever returned. Now, see, this is a problem. And this is the same premise.
So they've experienced church for the first time. They walked in the doors. They had a visit.
Right.
But the second time,
never happened.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is a huge issue. And I don't think it's unique to that one location. I think one of the things that our churches are good at is evangelism. We're out there winning souls. We're out there trying to be a testimony of Christ. We invite people to our church. We've got nice brochures. The problem is getting them to come back the second time. That's assimilation. How do you take a first-time guest to fully engaged member? And for that conversation, we have an incredible guest here today. Who do we have?
Blake Hunt. Welcome in.
What's up, Blake?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
I'm really excited to have you here.
Yeah,
excited to be here.
Why do we have you here? Explain what you do here at Southern Hills, our church.
Well, yeah. So about 3 years ago, Pastor, you brought me on because you identified the same problem at Southern Hills.
Exactly.
People are coming to church. Maybe they're even sticking around, but you know, they're 6, 8, 10, even, man, years in. And it's like, you've never been connected to the church before, or even worse, maybe you even left, you know, and then they come back and you only see them on Christmas and Easter. So you kind of brought me in and said, if you can get people to just stay, and I'm just looking to get people to stay in church, you'll be all worth bringing out. So that's why I've been brought here, and I guess that's why I'm still here.
So you run the assimilation system right here at the church and do an incredible job with it. Let's talk about where we were when you first came. We had an assimilation system established, but we really didn't have it running on all cylinders. And I love the fact that you brought this up. When Drew and I were here before you got here, when the rest of the team was here before you got here, we were having people come in and they were assimilating into our congregation, but maybe not at such a high rate. So what's been the journey of Southern Hills as far as you've seen?
Yeah, so actually when I came, Southern Hills is above the normal mark, which was really encouraging to see, to hear when I came in.
What is the normal mark? What do you mean?
The average evangelical church, from everything that I see and I find, is only assimilating at a 10% rate. Now, Pastor, what I mean by assimilation or assimilation rate, if you hear that verbiage or anything like that, that is
the first time somebody walks into your door to membership. So how many, what is the percentage of people that are walking into your door and then obtaining membership? For most evangelical churches, that would mean salvation, some form of baptism, and church membership class or statement or decision.
Right.
Right. So
right.
10 out of every 100 people. Mm. That's a shame.
Yeah.
And Southern Hills is actually at about a 24% rate, which was incredible.
Okay. So 24 for every 100 people that visit Southern right. Hills would become a member.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, we're a little unique out here in Las Vegas. There's a lot more people that leave church as well because we're so transient. Sure. Yeah. So that number does increase in the valley here. So I remember Pastor Fred, one of our first conversations is, can you get this to 29-30%? And right now, through the system that our whole team has developed, because it takes one of the core principles of assimilation, kind of something that I'll talk about at Idea Days to come, whether that be Idea Day Revitalize, Idea Day East, is everybody is an assimilator. Mm-hmm. Everybody on your team is an assimilator. We got to get past the idea that
it's up to
I hired an assimilation guy. Yeah. Congratulations. You do that now.
Okay. So when you say everybody's an assimilator, I mean, it's your job to run the assimilation system as your profession. But Drew, I mean, he's a deacon. How is his job assimilation?
Absolutely. Yeah. So Drew, we look at, you know, Pastor Jason on our team organizing those upfront events. Drew's job in assimilation is he has a section in our church, you know, as a greeting section, making sure that when he sees an unfamiliar face, that he familiarizes himself. He can do much more if we recreate ourselves than I can do as an individual.
So you're really saying that assimilation system to work properly, it's a refocus of the entire church's energy and really a change in culture that establishes in the mind of every member. We are all here to take a full-time guest to a fully engaged member.
Absolutely, Pastor. If you remember, one of the first things that we did together was you were like, all right, Blake, I have to get the church to buy in to you. So our first 6 months, I mean, I was on stage every week. I was doing every single video. I was in almost every single Facebook campaign. And what happened is Southern Hills bought in to me.
Yeah.
And now they know. I mean, when a guest walks into our church, our people will turn them around and send them back to the tent.
I think for us, it goes down to the culture, like you said earlier. I've been talking to a lot of friends that are, you know, outside of Vegas and different parts of the country. And sometimes even goes down to the preaching, what type of culture the church preludes as far as a welcoming mentality, or they're there just to witness the preaching. What I mean by that is, you know, I've been talking to a dear friend recently, and he really felt that like he was really the only one greeting guests, welcoming people in at this specific church that he was attending. Like, they were very well integrated. They've been there for a couple of years, been members of the church, recently switched churches, and like just the mentality switch is totally different, where the church is reaching people and welcoming people. Like, for us, you can't enter our parking lot without feeling welcomed. There's a person there directing your traffic. Once you get out of your car, there's greeters at the door. There's another person to hold the door open, and then it just keeps going. There's layers, right? So by the time that they actually get to the preaching, hopefully they've already been touched 6 or 7 times by somebody that's not paid by Southern Hills. And I think that's what you're talking about, is you're not the master assimilator. You've empowered those around you to actually help people assimilate into the church.
Absolutely. You know this as well as I do in your field. We are told a lie that people don't actually want to be interacted with.
Sure.
So at church, it's like, you need to back off.
Yeah.
You know, people have used the term like, don't be the needy ex-girlfriend, or don't be the needy girlfriend in church. I said, I am the most needy girlfriend there is in church. I want to know you to know that I am there, and you need to literally look at me and say, stop before I stop. And people, that's the number one question that I get in assimilation. Blake, it seems like you contact a lot. As we get more into the process and more into those things, Blake, it seems like you contact a lot. My answer is, yeah, I do contact a lot, and probably 1% of those people will tell me to stop. And we've assimilated over 500 people since I've been at Southern Hills for 3 years.
Now, that's an interesting statement that you just made. I think you're exactly right, and it's something that we're going to talk about in this episode as well as the next one, where we're going to talk about our retention system, which is a little slightly different than our assimilation system. And that is, we don't mind pushing away the 1%. So that we can pull in the 99%. Now, that sounds like the opposite of a parable that Jesus said one time, right? Jesus goes after the 1%. You understand what I mean. There might be a lost sheep that needs to be reached out to by the shepherd. But when it comes to those visiting your church, 1% of the people that we've experienced really get turned off by all the text messaging and the phone calls and the please come back and what can we do to help you?
The police reports.
Right. Yeah. Have you been kidnapped? All of these things that take place, you know, the private investigators we hire, some of it can be assumed to be too much.
Legal disclaimer, we don't do that.
No, we don't do that. We don't do that. But what we do is rather aggressive. And we have come to the conclusion we're okay with being so aggressive we push away the 1% so that we can gain the 99%. Now, there might be a cultural distinction. I'd love you to speak to this, guys. There might be a cultural distinction depending on what part of the country you live in that 1% might be different. For example, if you're in rural Mississippi and you have a smaller town that you deal with, that number might be higher because you have a less community to deal with, so you can't be maybe so aggressive. But you might be more aggressive than you are trying right now. You might be up in the Northeast where people are just not that friendly, apparently, right at the front all the time, and that number might go from 1% to 15%. But still, 85%, whatever that number is, those are people that you could be pulling in if you just changed your attitude about being a little bit more aggressive and maybe what we consider overly friendly.
Yeah, and the reason that we know that to be the case, I mean, we look at the secular world and people are still buying product and being sold product. That clearly isn't stopping anybody in the secular world from not going into stores, not going into things, and if you believe God has the power to save, why wouldn't you want to bring that to everybody that you possibly could?
Yeah.
The gospel, you know, we teach in our Grow class, you know, the gospel offends, so you ought not. The way that I view this is it's offensive for me not to try to give this person the gospel.
Yes.
And so I'm going to do everything that I can in my power to be able to allow God to open that window.
I love it. When it comes to this concept of assimilation, first of all, we've established there's clearly a need. There is a need for us to close the back door. If we're getting 50 visitors, if a church is getting 50 visitors a year, and they're only bringing in 5, well, there's a problem because how many are we losing through attrition, through death, through moving away, whatever it might be? So how can we not just get more than 50 visitors? Okay, that's a lesson on evangelism, big days, that kind of thing. This is a lesson saying, okay, of those 50, how can we get 10%? 20%, 30%, 40% of those people to stick around. So what would you say are some steps that we can actually take to say, okay, I know I need to get more than 10% to become members of our church. How can I turn that 5 into 20?
Yeah, you have to have a system. It does shock me that there are still places and prevalent places that just don't have an assimilation system in process, in the works.
Yeah, so the first thing you got to stop and ask yourself is, what is my system? Can I go to my computer right now and pull up my step-by-step system? Mm-hmm. Have you written that out? And that's definitely something that you can do.
So you talk about having a system, and some churches don't have, you know, a system built in place. I know a lot of people are anxious to hear your secret sauce. So please tell us how we can know what that is.
Yeah, so I'm actually writing right now for the Idea Journal 2021, which is coming out this fall, right around the same time as Idea Day East. So I'll be dropping a lot of those, but my system with the actual spreadsheets I use for tracking, which we're going to get to in a moment, and everything is going to be in that chapter in the Idea Journal. So definitely pick one up. And if you haven't picked up 2020s as well, awesome ideas in there over a great number of topics.
Yeah, you can get that resource just by going to ideanetwork.church and buying Idea Journal 2020. And then your chapter is going to be in Idea Journal 2021. You mentioned Idea Revitalized, or the Revitalized 2020 conference down in Tampa, as well as the Idea Day East that's going to be up there in New Jersey. Let's talk about both of those and how people can get involved, because you're going to be talking about assimilation system and walking through your assimilation system in both of those venues. Is that not right?
Yeah, Pastor. So at Revitalize 2020, I will be doing a few coaching sessions there that'll show the process, the need for the process. 2020, I will be doing a few coaching sessions there that'll show the process, the need for the process, why guest services, all topics pertaining to assimilation. And then Idea Day East, there in South Jersey, I'll be doing a backstage pass in specific retention that'll walk through my process. Right there live. I think there'll be 10 slots again.
So really like a recipe that's just going to be given out both in the book as well as both of these venues, which is pretty exciting. Well, instead of waiting until that point, I know we in this type of a format, it'd be ridiculous to walk through the 20, 25 steps, but share with us a few of the steps and what do we mean? How can somebody get started with writing out their own assimilation system? Let's begin there.
Absolutely. So the first thing that I tell people when they're first starting their assimilation process is there has to be a person to the process. There has to be a champion. You can put in place and assign different people, but there's got to be a champion of that process, whether that be a high-functioning volunteer or whether that be somebody you actually bring on staff, maybe a deacon, whatever have you. There has to be a champion to that process. So find your person to the process. That's generally your guest services captain as well.
Right. Otherwise, all you've got is a great a chart that you wrote and you put in your desk and you handed out at some Sunday night, but nobody's actually following up on this.
You got an awesome resource that you can put in the back of your church bulletin.
It's funny for me. I still remember the first person who helped me assimilate to Southern Hills was Eric Lantine.
Yeah.
And I think about when I first came to church in 2013, we just came out of an interesting situation from church. And then my wife and I were in an interesting place in our relationship. And honestly, like the first time Eric came up and greeted us, I was like, I don't want to be here. Like I, you know, and he was like, if you don't know Eric, if you're on this podcast, but like, he's the most smiley. He's like 6'6". He's a pilot, like really nice guy.
Yeah.
And like, he's just, I've never seen him sad or upset in my life.
Right.
So the second,
and we've been in meetings where he's a deacon too.
Oh yeah.
He could have been, and he's just very
right. And cool. The second time I was like, man, like this guy just won't leave me alone. Like I'm just like, and he's not targeting me. He's just doing his job right. As a deacon. And I remember like a year later, I apologized to him. I was like, dude, like I remember the first time you came up and really agreed to me as a church member. I wasn't having it. And I really appreciate you, you know, your spirit and really helping me assimilate, you know, into the church. So
it's incredible because it's not just a person who's taking the lead, but it's a permeated part of the culture for the people of the church to say, no, we really need to reach out to these people, love them, and bring them in. How can you do that? How can you begin working through? We're talking about steps. Let's go back to the steps in a moment, but how does somebody say, I've got to get that into the culture of our church? What would you say?
It starts with the assimilator, loving, truly, truly loving their church. If you walk into your church on Sunday, I've said this to a couple of associate pastors, maybe around the country, and you don't walk in and think this is one of the greatest churches in America, why are you there?
Yeah.
That's in all honesty, if you don't love your pastor, if you don't love the worship that's going on in your church, if you don't love the things that are going on in your church, you're doing one or two things. You're working to fix it under your pastor or maybe as the lead pastor, or number two, you're being a detriment to it. Mm. And you got to love where you're at because, I mean, believing people bring people.
Yeah.
And so you have to have a belief inside of your church. So beginning to foster that belief, Drew touched on it a little earlier, believing in your pastor's preaching, believing in your worship ministers or your worship volunteers leading in worship and worship and giving and worship in all of these aspects. Truly, I would say it starts by, I mean, this is the year of prayer, right? So it starts with prayer and asking God, give me a deep love for my church.
Yeah.
This can be something applied to not just the assimilator, not just the lead pastor, but to the church member.
I think you're exactly right. I think when we begin to pray, we begin to preach, we begin to express from the pulpit and from every corner of the church, we are here for the community. It's a game changer. And for some, you might think, well, that's a theological change for me. It doesn't have to be. It really doesn't. You say, oh, I think that the Church of God on Sunday mornings is only for the Christian, and it's not necessarily. You can totally, completely hold that view. You can absolutely theologically say my primary responsibility is to preach and to teach and to help those that are members of our church. You can keep that theological perspective and still develop a heart that is kind and gracious and loving and aware that there are people that are coming into your community. You may not view them, like some, as seekers, but what you can do is view them as lost sheep, God's elect who have not yet received Christ. And even with that perspective, your heart will be burdened for them to feel welcome in the place that God has them. And if you can teach from the pulpit that Sundays are, yes, for the church community, but they are also for those who are eventually going to be part of the church community, it will change your mindset and it will permeate the culture of your church to be loving and welcoming and see these poor, dear lost souls that need to be welcomed into the church. So we're talking about not just how to change the culture, but also the specific process.
Yeah, so I guess I'll kind of whet the appetite for Revitalize 2020 and Idea Day East here. One of the keys in this processing or in this system is finding something that makes you uniquely different. A lot of people do a similar system to what you're going to do because the system that you'll find just works.
Right.
So what can you do that makes you different enough? So one of the things that we do is we send an immediate welcome text. That's just a, hey, welcome to church. My name is Blake. If you need anything, I'll be right outside of the at the tent after service. Love that you're here.
Oh, wait. When you say immediate, you're saying not on Monday
like,
or Tuesday.
By the time they sit down in the chair, they got a text from me.
How does that happen? Wait a second. How did they? Now I'm acting as if I don't know for the sake of the audience. Do you get what I'm doing, Blake?
I got you, Pastor.
Because I'm a pro.
Yeah.
All right. So how in the world do you get their phone number and text them before they even sit down and hear the sermon?
Yeah. So we're jumping steps a little bit around, but a fallacy of churches is that we only have one opportunity to grab this information. We got to grab the information, I believe, before they even walk in the doors. And oftentimes it's just a quick church announcement at the very end after they've experienced everything they need to experience. You can change a person's mood and likeliness to stay the moment they drive onto your campus. It is all about grabbing that information before church services start. That's where worship begins, right there at the guest services tent.
Yeah. So practically, how do we do that? How do we get that card?
Yeah, we create our connection card, we welcome people into the tent, and we actually even have hawks, and we use our deacons in there if they see any new people that will radio back out to our tent. I mean, this is a real deal. Like, these are connection cards. You've said this from the beginning. Connection cards are worth their weight in gold, right?
Yeah.
So it's you have to go after it immediately by building your connection card, by having a space that guests can easily access and go to and feel welcome before service.
So if you're a guest that's coming to Southern Hills first time, you're going to pull on campus, you're going to see, yes, the parking lot people, they're going to wave at you, you're going to see greeters smiling and holding signs, but there are also undercover, you call them hawks, mm-hmm. who are out there looking for people that normally don't show up. We have our deacons stationed in each section of the auditorium, yes. We have our guests, our guest services and greeters, and they're literally looking for people they don't recognize to approach them, to find out if they're new here, and to get them a card, and to get them to the guest services tent, or get the card to you before the preaching even starts. How do they approach some guests like that? What do they say?
Yeah, so we are pretty aggressive, like we've already established. So we just go up and we assume, I've always assumed people actually want to talk to me. Maybe it's just a fallacy of what I believe.
It but is I assume, a mistake, hey, because most don't.
That's so true. But, you know, I assume, and I think every assimilator should assume, they want to talk to me.
Yes.
And so I walk up to him and say, hey, you know, my name's Blake. I don't know how long you've been coming. We never use the terminology, how long have you come here, or are you new here, or anything like that, because we don't want to offend the guest. So I always ask, how long have you been coming? And that's how I open it up. And if they say, oh, I've actually been coming 3 weeks, then you buy into it. If the gift's in your hand, if the guest card's in your hand, you just buy into the awkward. That's one of the steps that I talk about later on in some of the sessions.
Buy into the awkward.
Yeah. I mean, you got to buy in. So if you're sitting there getting a connection card, you'd be like, awesome. Well, I don't personally have your information, so I'm going to ask you to fill out this connection card anyway. And actually, here's an extra gift for you. You probably already got one 3 weeks ago when you came for the first time, but that's totally okay.
Okay, so then we get the connection card. And like you said, we text them immediately, and there are... Well, more steps that we can get into in this episode, absolutely. But we have quite a system outlined on what we do with that connection card. But we would all agree, the very first thing that you've got to do is, number one, change the culture. Secondly, you have to develop some type of connection card, guest services card, visitor card. And then what you do with that card directly determines your assimilation rate, and what your assimilation rate directly influences how your church grows and the health of your church.
Absolutely.
There's so much more we'd love to share. This episode just doesn't allow us the space. Maybe we'll talk more about assimilation in the episodes to come. And definitely, we're going to be talking about this at Revitalize 2020 down in Tampa, Florida. That's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And by the way, if you're thinking about coming, you're like, man, I'm not sure. Just make the call. Register right now. Have a great time with us. Come a couple days early. Go see Mickey Mouse. And then...
You're breaking out all your Tommy Bahama shirts, right? Like, you have five of them.
Yeah, I'm wearing one right now. You like the one I'm wearing right now?
That's great.
Yeah.
Palm trees and flamingos.
It's going to be great. It's Florida. Why not?
I mean...
Now, you might not be able to make it to that one, but Idea Day East up in New Jersey, which is happening in September, that's going to be a lot of fun, too. And we're going to... Blake, you're going to be teaching at that one. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, backstage pass and everything at that one.
What is the backstage pass?
So backstage pass will look into actually just having an exclusive with me from a Saturday night all the way through a Tuesday that day. So
cool.
You will get to see how the assimilator prepares on a Saturday, how the assimilator assimilates on a Sunday or reaches out on a Sunday, and how he follows up on a Monday. And that is, it's going to be a fun time.
Now that's interesting, because you can come to the Idea Day East and hear one session from Blake, and he walks you through his system, or you can get the backstage pass, you and a team member, however many you want. I think we're only offering about 10 of these.
I think so.
If you want one, you need to pick it up. And you can, instead of 1 hour, you can spend 4 days with an assimilation director, with an assimilation rate of how much?
We are currently right now. You want me to give my big day rate, Pastor?
No, your normal rate.
We are currently now at 36%.
36% assimilation rate. And you can learn directly from this person by coming to Idea Day East, buying the backstage pass. You can do that on the website. If you have trouble with that, contact us, and you're going to have a great time. We want your church to not only evangelize the lost and bring in new people. Our heart's desire is for you to make disciples of Jesus, for Jesus Christ. We want you to close that back door, and we would love to see, if you have 100 visitors in 2020, we want you to see yourself keep 30 to 40 to 50% of them as members of the church. You're going to see growth like never before. Thank you so much for listening to this episode.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.